Good morning, everyone. I guess I can say happy Independence Day to you, because it's coming up tomorrow. We have a special presentation, patriotic presentation, be made next Sunday. I know you won't want to miss that. Kind of hard to figure out sometimes where you want to plug in the patriotic. We have a special service going today, though. We're going to be having a commissioning service for our brother Eddie Tutwiler. To do so, we'd like to dismiss Children's Church at this time. So Children's Church, you're dismissed. Then I'd ask you please to join me in a word of prayer just now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you and praise you. You are the one true God. There is none like you. Never has been, never will be, for you are from eternity. And we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem this whole cosmos, to buy us back from the sinfulness that had killed us, to give us brand new life. Thank you that Jesus is the crucified and risen Lord and Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, and I thank you for that. We ask just now that your blessing would rest upon this very special service we are having this day. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that there's a gospel to be preached at all. And thank you that in your sovereign goodness and love and mercy and grace, you have given to us this gospel. And thank you for what you're going to do as you work through the Tutwilers. We thank you for all of that, Father. We give you praise just now for what you're going to do in each one of us this day as we dedicate ourselves to the purpose of the gospel, of knowing the gospel, of those who preach it. And we will thank you for what you are going to do in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, today the focus is going to be on the gospel and on proclaiming that gospel. So we have some things we're going to share with you from the Word of God. But before we do, I would like to introduce some guests to you. I'd like to introduce Dan and Cheryl Nave. They are with us here, and they bring more than 25 years ministry experience to the SCE leadership. That's the Southwestern Church Extension. He served two different pastors, a senior pastor, each for over 10 years, including Heritage Bible Church in Remington, Indiana, where he was the founding pastor. For 10 years, Dan served as a local church pastor and field training director for Midwest Church Extension. He was part of the organizational team of Checkpoint Bible Camp, a summer Bible camp for boys and girls. The Naves have a passion for church planting and training of men who are preparing for pastoral ministry. They open their home to host men and couples who are involved in training and internship ministries. I'm glad to welcome to the platform this morning Dan Nave, as he's going to share with us why he's interested in Eddie Tutwiler. God bless you, brother.
Well, greetings to y'all from East Tennessee. We live, it's tough duty serving the Lord there, but we live in the Smoky Mountains. And we're tickled to be up here this morning and able to greet you all and talk with you about our new friends, Eddie and Laura Tutwiler. For 11 years, I worked with Midwest Church Extension, and some of you know the director of that organization, Henry Vosburg. We, as Brother Doug mentioned, started a church in Remington, Indiana, that was used as a training center ministry for MCE. As a part of that, I was tasked with developing an internship ministry, and then implementing that at Heritage Bible Church. In 2014, Heritage Bible Church and Midwest Church Extension commissioned Cheryl and me as the director of a new IFCA church planting organization that we named Southeast Church Extension. My wife Cheryl is with me, and we're so excited to be able to do this ministry. IFCA International is a network of about 1,600 pastors and churches around the world. We also have with us today our Southeast Church Extension field director, Irvin Stutzman, and his wife, Wanda. Stand up. Okay. Irvin and I work together as church planters at Midwest Church Extension, and because they have grandbabies in South Carolina, Irvin and Wanda moved down there several years ago. And when we started Southeast Church Extension, Irvin called me and said, I want in. And so he is now our field director, and they live very near Eddie and Laura, and they'll have a huge role in the Tutwiler's ministry. Pastor White asked me to talk a little bit about Southeast Church Extension this morning and exactly what is the mission of Southeast Church Extension. There are some things that we call our values that are very important to us. Priority of the local church, expositional Bible teaching, ministry training and preparation. Those are the kind of the foundation upon which Southeast Church Extension is built. That's what we are. But then why we exist, or our purpose, is to promote the advancement of church health and church planting. And we do that a number of ways, by building a network of healthy churches from which new churches can be started. And then our vision, what we do, is to develop a network of healthy churches where struggling churches will be served, new churches will be started, and ministry training can be provided. We're working with a church right now in the Birmingham, Alabama area that would fall into that category of struggling churches. And what Eddie and Laura are going to be doing in South Carolina would fulfill that strategy of starting new churches. We do have a written strategy. I won't take the time to bore you with it or extend my moments this morning. It's on our website. In the back on the podium are some brochures that have information like that, as well as a sign-up sheet to be able to receive the Tutwilers' prayer letters. When Eddie and Laura moved to South Carolina, they discovered something that those of us who live in the South already knew. There is very little expositional Bible teaching in the South. That's probably true everywhere, but you don't expect it in the South because there's church on every corner or at the bottom of every holler, and you think that there would be Bible teaching, but it's very, very few and far between. And so because of that, the Tutwilers contacted Biblical Ministries Worldwide, if I remember the chronology, Eddie, and then through that were sent to us because we represent IFCA church planting in the South. And knowing that Eddie wanted more ministry training and more preparation than he has, and knowing that he had the heart of a church planter, we're convinced that God brought us together. Because of the priority that we place on the local church as one of our values, then when Eddie and we began talking about church planting, I really encouraged him to come back here for a commissioning. I think it's important that there be a local church behind the effort of every church planter. Eddie and Laura are exactly the kind of people Southeast Church Extension is seeking, committed to the exposition of Scripture, willing to be taught, excited about the task, and where God needs them to be, both physically and spiritually. And so we're very excited to have the Tutwilers on our staff at Southeast Church Extension. They are the first. We have two couples. We've only been in existence for 2 years. And Eddie and Laura and another couple in Northwest Georgia are our very first church planters. And so we're very excited to be able to walk through this with y'all. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share this morning.
If you will stand with me for the responsive reading this morning, it's going to be in Romans chapter 10, and I'm assuming it's behind me. Oh, there it is. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, but what does it say? The word is near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him.
For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you may be seated.
Would you join me on the platform, please? We are going to share with you now the word of God. This is God's instruction about preaching, about the Word of God, and about the need for those who will preach it. So we read this, the commission to preach the gospel. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
The power of God needed to preach the gospel. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Eddie, this is the life of the gospel preacher. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you.
This is the authority of the gospel preacher, 2 Timothy 3:10 through 17. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
This is the charge of the gospel preacher. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Here is the necessity of the gospel preacher from Titus 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you.
The success of the gospel preacher. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers, and you can take your seats just now. Certainly, Eddie and Laura Tutwiler are no strangers to us. They worked among us, they preached, they taught. Eddie, while he was here, preached in several churches as pulpit supply, attempted to help bring a church back to life again. Eddie did a great job and was good at teaching so many things. We watched him as he was being trained. We watched as he and Laura grew together and their family grew together. It was a rich experience for us all. I'm going to ask Eddie to come at this time and just give us the testimony of how he knows he's been called to preach and his desire.
Well, I'm going to start by just saying thank you to all of our friends and family who are able to join us on this special day. It's kind of sad Laura's not able to be here because Lily was sick this morning. And as you can tell, it's kind of emotional for me right now. But all this for me started back after I graduated high school. After I graduated, I was ready to get married and have kids right away. I was ready to enter into the next phase in my life. So I was always on the lookout for the one that God was supposed to bring into my life, that I was supposed to marry and have kids with and start my new life. And but the more I tried and the more I sought, the more difficult it came to find the right person. It wasn't until I decided to give up that search for looking for the one and dedicate my life to the Lord. I was deployed when I was in the Air Force in 2013, and the Lord had convicted my heart that it was time to give my life over to Him, so that's what I did. I spent my free time when I was deployed often praying and reading my Bible, growing in my faith and in my walk with the Lord. And when I got back, I decided that I was going to separate from the Air Force and started coming to church more faithfully. I came here to was coming here to Edgemont infrequently at the time, but that Easter in 2014, I was baptized. And then the following year is when I met Laura, and then God started to progress and worked in me and Laura's relationship that we were married in less than 9 months or 10 months. But then after meeting Laura, I began growing in the Word even more, sitting under the sound teachings of Pastor White and the leadership here at Edgemont Bible Church. And the more I sat under the teaching, I was being encouraged and growing in the Lord. It was at this time I began to feel called into some form of ministry, not knowing exactly where the Lord was going to take us. I'd went on mission trips, served in various capacities here, and God just continued to grow that desire of mine for ministry. And the more I served, the more I sat under teaching, the greater the desire swelled within me. And the greater the desire grew, the more I began reading and drawing more into the Word of God and reading more about preaching. I read a little bit about Charles Haddon Spurgeon and the downgrade controversy. A little bit about this, it was from March 1887 until his death in 1892 that Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, made a stand against modernism and the rise of liberal theology in the church. Spurgeon took a stand for truth, even against his own denomination, had some of his closest friends and family had turned against him. But he understood the gravity of the situation. He understood that the gospel itself was at risk in the church, the risk of compromise that he was not willing to yield to. He was not willing to compromise the truth of the gospel and God's word. Reading about the downgrade controversy and seeing the current state of our nation and the world around us continued to fuel my desire to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of God's word. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." As I sought to grow in faith and knowledge of Him, He began to grow the desires that He had placed in my heart. Just as Spurgeon in his time had dealt with the rise of secularism and liberal theology, so we are seeing the same rise in our time. God used this recognition, the recognition of the need for the gospel to be preached, to add fuel to the desire that was already burning within inside me. I was sure that when the time was right, that Laura and I would both be ready for this new direction and ministry calling. The more I tried to force ministry into the life of my family, the more tense that me and Laura's relationship got, because she wasn't ready to be a pastor's wife or a missionary wife. It wasn't until I had tried giving up, forcing ministry on my family, and moved to South Carolina that God brought Laura and I in contact with Dan and Cheryl in the Southeast Church Extension. What was originally expected to be just an informal dinner to get familiar with their ministry of the Southeast Church Extension. Once again, when I had given up my desires and gave them over to God and just follow God, that God had begun to fulfill those desires that He had placed in my heart. So I stand here before you today, sharing with you my call to ministry, because of God is the one who has placed the desire in my heart. Anybody who is familiar with pastoral ministry or church ministry as a whole, it's not easy. There's not a lot of fruit and things that you may see in your lifetime of ministry. But it comes from a desire to see people grow in the faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share the consequences and warn those around us of the peril that they may face without the gospel. So that is why I believe that I have been called to preach the gospel in South Carolina with the Southeast Church Extension. Thank you.
Eddie, that was excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us. I think all of you are, those of you who are familiar with Eddie and Laura, can relate to much of what they just said right there. Praise the Lord for that. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn them to Luke 24. Luke 24, we'll be reading verses 44 to 49. We're going to attempt to be quite brief this morning, as we've got some other things we wish to accomplish today. Luke 24, 44 through 49. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He said this. He's come to the disciples. He's speaking with them. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I would like to share with you this morning, Eddie, why the gospel must be preached. And for all of us as well, that we might be able to join with Eddie and Laura and Dan and Cheryl and all who are engaged in this very, very important endeavor. Now, I think six things that Jesus said to us in this passage, and I'd like to share them with you. First of all, then he said to them. When I look at this, I'm realizing that the gospel must be preached because he's alive from the dead. The gospel must be preached because he's risen from the dead, proving that he is the Lord and the Christ. The very fact that they didn't recognize him, that didn't even want, they were somewhat terrified of seeing him. They had not seen someone risen from the dead like he was. And having seen that, that proved he was both Lord and Christ. It impressed Peter so much that later in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he would say, "This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." He claimed to be the Son of God, and he claimed that he would rise again on the third day. It was that claim of being the Son of God valid? Was it verified? His resurrection verified it completely. Since no one else had ever done that before, he's alive. And because he's alive, he proved that he is Lord of all creation and the promised Messiah. Eddie, second thing I see in this passage, because it's the culmination of centuries of the Word of God, the gospel is the announcement of God's promised final restoration of all things. Eddie, if you remember, while you were here, we used the platform as a timeline, and here we saw was creation. And we made the pulpit then the cross itself, and then we know the time comes to an end someplace out here, though we don't know when it is. We do know this, that from the time of creation, after the fall, God spoke, and he spoke again, and he spoke again about a coming restoration of all things. For that which he made was very good, but after sin, it was fallen. And he had promised it'll be restored. He promised one would come, and he began to choose a people to do that. And through that people, he chose a particular family. And through that particular family, even down to the particular leader in that family, to know that the gospel was going to come through one Jesus. It's the message foretold, Daddy, for generations in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus took the time when he was with them in his resurrection to go ahead and speak to them about all the scriptures that had been given to this point, showing them here in the law, here in the prophets, here in the Psalms, that he is the one to come and that he has to suffer and that he would be risen from the dead. He showed them all of that in the scriptures. And because the gospel itself is the culmination of all that, it's the finish of all that, it's the completion of that. The one who created all things has spoken and has in the gospel confirmed with detailed accuracy all the things which he said. Number three, Eddie. The gospel must be preached because Jesus is the focal point of all history and the Lord over all things. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one like him in any time of history. No one. He's singular. He's unique. Solitary. There's not another one like him. But because he is risen from the dead, because he is the focal point of all the scriptures, he's what everything was being spoken of all throughout. He himself is the gospel. It's through faith in Christ that we're saved. It's not through faith in an ethical code. It's not through the things which we can do to be made righteous. It is faith in Christ and Christ alone. And because that's what it is, that has to be preached. It's the natural turn for us all to believe there's something I can do to earn that. It isn't. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the one of which the scriptures spoke, and it's all about him. Number four, Ed. Because it's the message of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the gospel is the victory over sin and death that saves our lives. It speaks of Jesus' divine coming into being. It speaks of his divine and human life being shared. The wonderful things that he did, the things he did that pleased his Father. That's what it speaks. No one had done that before. Jesus is the most unique individual. He is living that life all by himself. And he's giving us not only an example, but we're going to soon see that he is our righteousness. What he's doing is what's going to be given to us. We see him crucified. We see him just exactly the way the scripture said it was going to be. And just like everything else, just like every other human being, he died a real death. And dying a real death, he was buried in a real tomb. He did not just simply revive while he's in there. He was dead, dead, dead. And what makes this so unique is that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, no one had done that before. He's Lord over all creation. And that gospel is telling people just that. Someone who's come who's different from all of us. Someone who's come who lived a complete righteousness. Someone who's come who died just like we do. Someone who's come who was buried, but someone who's come who has done something none of us could ever do before. He was raised from the dead. The gospel has to be preached because it's the most unique account anywhere. The gospel must be preached because God has granted repentance and provided full forgiveness to everyone who believes the gospel. Listen to how Jesus said it here. Thus it is written, there was the gospel written in the scriptures, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. He said, because God has granted repentance and remission of sins to those who believe, because he has granted that, that gospel has to go everywhere. Everyone has to know this truth, and they can't know it unless someone is sent to preach it. So this day, Eddie, we commission you to do just exactly that. Preach it. Take that proclamation of the truth of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done and preach it. The gospel must be preached because God has demonstrated it, commanded it, authorized it, and empowered it. The gospel is God sending his own son. His only begotten son was sent here because he loved this whole created order that he had made, and he came to redeem people. His son selects men to preach it and even commissioned them while he was with them to go preach that good news. It was the good news of the kingdom that which was to come. He teaches men the details of that gospel, even spending 40 days with them after his own resurrection to make sure they got all the details of the gospel, to make sure they were firm in what they were going to present in that gospel, to make sure, and if I can say it this way, he gives them the Spirit of God to ensure its safekeeping. He couldn't simply rely on people's memory to get that done. He couldn't rely on people alone because people alone, when they're thinking of things, create new stories. There cannot be a new story. There is only one gospel, and that one gospel has to be retained. And it was the Spirit of God. That's what moves Spurgeon, Eddie. That's what moves Spurgeon. The Spirit of God within him, reading the gospel, preaching the gospel, he knew it could not be changed. We're not authorized to change it. We don't have that. The Spirit of God is working in us. And then there's the sovereign one. He had authority over that gospel, and he gave them authority and power through the Holy Spirit, as he said here in verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He gave them the power. Eddie, always count on the power of God to preach. Stick with the Word of God. Stick with Jesus Christ and him alone. Stick with the power of God through the Spirit of God. That's how the gospel is to be preached. And that's why the gospel has to be preached in all the world. It isn't just an option. It is to be preached in all the world. And may I say, all of you have that gospel. Every single one of you have the same gospel. You were saved by that gospel. Well, saved by the Christ of that gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's that gospel message that you have contained in you, and it's that gospel message that has to go from you to the rest of the world. We're called on to be that kind of preacher. I'm going to ask now if all the elders would join us. Eddie, we'd like you to come up just in front here. If you'd kneel before us here. All the elders, if there are elders emeritus here that would like to join us, we'd like to invite you. Dan, we would like to invite you. And if you want to bring your guests with you as well, we'd like to invite all of you to participate with this. In our laying on of hands and why this is done, we're identifying with Eddie. We're not somehow passing on our power. But just like with the lamb that was sacrificed or whatever sacrifice you made, when you were making that sacrifice, you laid your hands on that. You understood that there was something happening between you and you're identifying with that one. Today, we as preachers of the gospel identify with Eddie. We're not in some way powerful enough to send anything on to Eddie. The Spirit of God's working in us and is working in him. So would you join us, please, as we pray? Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we bow before you. We are humbled by the gospel, Father. Tremendously moved by the love and the grace of God that brought that gospel. For we know truly that you are the lover of our souls. And though we may not have an understanding of why you would even bother, we are grateful that you did. Grateful that that's your character, that's your nature, that's your person to love and to care, to be compassionate, and to show us the grace that saves our soul. I thank you for the day, Father, you saved Eddie Tutwiler. I thank you for the day you saved Laura. I thank you for that glorious day when they heard by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ has died for him, and I thank you that you saved their lives. But now I thank you, Father, that you stirred in them, you moved in them, that desire to preach that gospel, that same gospel that saved them through the Word of God might be preached as well. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, you'll empower him with the Spirit and that you'll keep that fresh in his mind all the time. That when those frustrating moments arise, when the flesh rises up and wants to balk and complain or do things its own way, I ask in Jesus' name, bring to him the Spirit of God's calling, compassion, and even rebuke, Father. But grant to him the power of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We lay our hands on him this day, Father, identifying with the gospel of Jesus Christ and thanking you for the privilege you've given to all of us to participate in this. We are humbled by that as well, Father, that we could be even a participant with carrying this gospel message through another one. Thank you for those who in the past did this for us. Thank you for those in the past who gave their lives that we could have that gospel here in us this day. And I pray that you'll grant to Eddie and Laura much fruit, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be fruitful in every way, that the power of the Spirit of God will be there, a church and churches will be planted that they get opportunity to work with, and that those churches will flourish and be fruitful churches. We ask, Father, for a restoration of the gospel and of gospel preaching into the whole area again. We recognize you already told us the day would come when people would have itching ears and not listen to sound doctrine. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bring people to that place that they want to hear. Please, Father, remove from us the famine of hearing the word of God and grant that in Christ's name that gospel might be preached everywhere. Yes. And we thank you for what you're going to do as we commission this brother into the gospel ministry this day in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And having done those things, we'd like to ask you to join us just now in a remembrance of that gospel. So I'm going to ask all the officers if they go ahead and come forward at this time. I'm going to ask you to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember this, that the gospel is not about you, it's about the Savior. And he's brought us into a covenant relationship with him. He told us to do this table. He told us to remember this. He told us because he knows our forgetter is so good. We need to be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us. And certainly there's no better time than this to remember the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God come in the flesh. He's God and human being at the same time. Sinless in all of his ways. So we're going to eat unleavened bread here in just a moment just to remind ourselves that Jesus is God without sin. He's God come in the flesh. He's God incarnate. And because we're going to remember that together, we're going to remember what a wonderful Savior he really is. We ask you to meditate on that thought as you're thinking through who Jesus Christ really is. Then we're going to come to the cup, and we're going to understand here that Jesus Christ said, "This cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood," that it is his blood that has paid for our sins. We've been paid for in full, but it isn't just simply the payment that's made. As he said through this cup, we're to remember that we've entered into that new promised covenant where we'd be indwelt by the Spirit of God. We'd have our hearts fully changed and his law would be written inside us, no longer outside of us, and that we would do his will. So if you join us, please, as we pray for the word of God, for the table we have. Father, we thank you and praise you that Jesus Christ is truly Lord of lords and King of kings. He's our Savior. He's all there is. And we give you praise for that today. Thank you that you've let us hear the gospel. And thank you that even as we do this again, all the hosts of heaven who are watching this assembly this morning will marvel once again at the wisdom of God in saving ruined things, in making ruined things holy. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that Spirit of God. Now we ask you to bless this bread, which speaks of his body broken for us. And we thank you that he is the perfect sacrifice. He's a lamb without blemish, without spot, without stain. He's all of that. The perfect sacrifice provided by you, given by you, willingly done by him. Thank you for this cup that speaks of the blood that he shed for us. We know our lives have been paid for in full. All our sin has been paid for in full. Thank you for this cup as that reminder in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We ask you to please wait till all have been served so that we can all participate together and have that kind of fellowship with each other. You do not have to be a member of Edgemont Bible Church to participate. But may I say, you must be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you take this as a show, May I say, you're only eating and drinking your own condemnation. Because you're saying then, in effect, I know Jesus died for me, but I'm not trusting him. I know that he's the Son of God, but I'm not really trusting him. Please don't do that. Just pass it by. If you're not trusting Jesus Christ and him alone, just let it pass you by today. Better to be real in your heart. I'm going to share with you from the Word of God that speaks the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Praise the Lord, everybody. Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. You know, that's all from Passover, when they were to look for a lamb without spot, without blemish, and they kept it for 4 days, and they watched over that to make sure that it didn't get dirty, make sure it was clean. Jesus came without sin, and we watched his life. We beheld him as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. We saw through grace and truth that this one was out without spot, without blemish. So as we take this bread this morning, we're remembering this. We are those who understand Jesus is God come in the flesh. And when you take this day, that's what you're saying. I know and have been convinced by the Spirit of God that Jesus is God come in the flesh. He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember them together. We read in Hebrews, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's me and you, because we're flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that it might be a merciful, and that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The scriptures are just full of references to what was going to happen to that Messiah. All the prophets foretold of his suffering. They foretold of all the things going to, even down to the psalmist describing what that death was going to look like. Down to the details of he was thirsty. Down to the details of what they would give him to drink. So when he had seen all of that and completed all that, he could say, it's finished. Everything in the scriptures are complete. Everything for our sin is complete. It's paid for. Past, present, future. He was redeeming you, not simply individual acts of sin. He bought you. He paid for you. And he said, this cup is my blood, the cup of my blood in the new covenant. That promised new covenant that he said he would make with Israel. The one that would take the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and fill it, complete it, and finish it. He died to all of it and raised again that day that there might be a new covenant given to us. Let's remember him together. We're in a new covenant relationship with him. Praise the Lord, huh? It's all right to say praise the Lord. It's right out of Scripture, and we can afford to say it. God is good to us, is he not? Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us today. And I know that you're going to want to greet Eddie. I wish that Laura was here as well, but I know you want to. So what we're going to ask, Eddie, would you guys mind all going back to back where the podium is there so that everybody gets a chance to greet Eddie and let him know you'd be praying for him. Matter of fact, he's got a prayer list right there. If you'd sign up for that so that you can hear from their prayer letter on a regular basis, I would really appreciate it. So Dan, if you guys would join Eddie back at the back there, that'd be great. Great. So please just stop by there, give him a good handshake. Hug him if you're a hugger. Please don't slap him, okay? If you're a slapper, just don't do it, okay? So, yeah.
Well, it says greet the brother with a holy kiss. I mean, come on.
If you're a kisser, just internalize it, okay? All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer then. Father, we thank you so much. You are the awesome God, creator of heaven and earth, Lord of it all. May your name be hallowed among all people. We know, Father, there's none like you. And we thank you so much for your love, your compassion, your mercy that saved our wretched souls and gave us brand new life. And now we're the children of God. Not by a thing which we did, but what you did for us. You're so awesome, and we give you praise for that. I ask you to bless this people, that you'd fill us all with your spirit, with your power, that we might be effective ministers of the new covenant, that we might be good preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be faithful workers of the good works you've called us to. Thank you, Father, for we are the total package. We're what you got in mind. And thank you that you are always that one that's taking the common things in life and making them very uncommon and extraordinary. Thank you for that. And now, may the Lord watch over you, bless you, keep you strong. May his face shine upon you and give you rest. May he give you his glory and your change from glory to glory day to day. And thank you for all the goodness you're going to show. Bring peace to your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll look to see you at 6 o'clock tonight.